crazy over the last, I would say, 18 months. 12 to 18 months ago, there were three or four kids in the 4 to 6 year old class and 4 or 5 to 6 kids in the older group class. And this last year, we're now running about 10 in each. Yes, ma'am. I did not know that. That would explain a lot. So now it's, if there's 7 to 7 to, on average, 7 to 10 kids in the nursery, 7 to 10 kids in this group, and 7 to 10 kids in that group, and we haven't actually had to potentially split off the middle class because the room just can't hold everybody if everybody shows up. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And there's a lot of people that go into that. And the number of people that have to volunteer to make that happen is pretty significant. So if you volunteer anywhere in the nursery, in the children's ministry at all, I want you to stand up. Please. Please stand up. Come on.
Stand up, Dorothy. No, don't sit down, Dorothy. Please stand up. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, and of course we have the three or four that's left. I'm not sure who's in the nursery today. Vanessa and Nancy, Alda and Candace in here, and I think Steve went down with the older kids. And Mike Lear is not here today. So, that's a big thing. And I can tell you this right now, they still need more help. We need to remember that there's plenty of ministry to be done in that area. Now, the next thing I want to tell you, report, is about our finances. I've got a chart for that if you want to throw that up there. That's the best I could do as far as making it big enough to read. So hopefully you can read that. We increased our giving, regular giving, that first column there. We increased that by 9% this year. That's $6,800. And that's pretty significant. Because if you notice the numbers above it, the first column, notice that the incremental change between 2010 to 11, 11 to 12, 12 to 13 is really only about 1%, or maybe sometimes even under 1%. But this year, it was 9%. So we increased our giving significantly. That's a big deal for us. It's a big deal for us. Our goal, and it's a goal that's kind of an internal goal. It's a goal we talk about at the executive board level. We understand a couple of things, the way things work. So if you think about how we get income into our church to do things with, you have the first column, which is regular giving, which is everybody that brings and gives money to the plate on a Sunday. That's where that money comes from. The second column is facility use. That's, we rent the building. We rent the building to lots of different people. There are a couple of churches that rent our building. There's a Narcotics Anonymous group that rents our building. People use the building for birthday parties and weddings and all kinds of different things. And so that second column is income that we receive from those rentals that we receive every year. So our total income there, you can see going across, is those two numbers added together. The fourth column over is how much money that we actually spend. How much do we actually spend on expenses? Our goal has been internally to always strive to live off of the amount of money that we regularly give, the first column. Now, you can see that we have not ever really done that. It's always been a goal. We understand that that's something, because here's the truth about rental agreements. They can always be broken. People can always stop coming. You know, they can always decide to not use the... I mean, that could always change. We can't guarantee column two. It's never a guarantee. So our goal has always been to try to live off column one. And we've strived to do that, and we've worked hard to do that, and we've never really done that. Now, the last column you can see there... fifth, regular giving shortfall. You can see how much money we actually had to spend of the facility use to make budget. This year, it dropped significantly. We almost made it. It was $2,000 short of actually making it. That is significant. I mean, it was from $6,000 to $2,000. That's a significant drop. These are things that we need to understand, that when we increase our giving, we are able to give away more of our resources. We give away finances to places in our city. We give our money, give money away to our national church to be able to do things on a national and international level. We give away some of the money that we bring in to local places where people are help, that are in need of help in needy places, or Pregnancy Help Center and Love Inc. and places like that. We are always wanting to increase how much we're able to do with what we have. We want to be good stewards of what we have. And we've been able to do that with what you guys have been giving. And when we increase these dollars, we're able to do things like more things with children's ministry, add things with leadership development, be able to maintain the facility that we have, be able to do the things that we need to do to be able to continue to fulfill the mission God has called us to do. So I want to thank you. If you gave this year, thank you. Thank you very much. I want to encourage you to remain faithful. This is a big deal. I mean, there was a year, probably, I think it was 2009. We had a meeting about August of 2009, I believe it was, where we had to decide what we were going to cut because we weren't going to make it. You know, it was in the middle of the dip and finances were weird and, you know, everybody around us was struggling with the recession and that was the reality we were. And that's where we were. And we had to come together and decide what, in what order things were going to be taken away if we didn't make budget. Ever since then, we've increased slowly but surely over time. And 2014 was an increase for us. So I want to encourage you. This is a good thing. If you've not started giving, if you've never done that, this is a stewardship thing. This isn't a guilt trip question. It isn't about whether you have to give a certain amount or anything like that. It is just a condition of your heart and understanding what God is doing in your life with what you have. You know, there's when I was a kid growing up, there was always this discussion about this understanding of tithe. Well, tithe in the Old Testament means you give 10% of what you had. And in the Old Testament, that generally meant an animal or a scoop of grain, or they would bring it to the temple and that would be their offering. They didn't have money. They didn't bring money. They brought what they had with them to offer it to God. But as you read through the New Testament, as you read through the Bible, it's really not, God is more interested in the condition of our hearts, in the condition of our understanding of what He's doing in our lives than He ever is about how much we bring. So I encourage you. I mean, if you're giving something, fantastic. What is God talking to you about that? If you're not giving anything, that's okay. What is God saying to you about that? Is that something God wants you to start doing? Even if it's a little bit. Can you be faithful with what God has given you? So thank you guys very much for that. Now, when we measured things, you can go to the measures slide, not that one. There you go, thank you. When we in 2012 we put together we went through a process called Church Unique, and we began to think about what it meant for us to be disciples of Jesus together as we follow after Him unto a common mission and be able to follow Him. We wanted to know what it would look like if you took a picture of how we would categorize a believer, and what would that look like? How would you measure that? We wanted it to be more than just a couple of things. You know, oh, I'm a believer because I say so. Okay, that's fine. I'm a believer because I come to church. Okay. But we believe there's more to that. So we put these things together, and we wanted to talk about them again today. Because it's not just about numbers. It's not just about how many people show up or how much money we give or how many kids are here. All those are great things. But at the end of the day, if all it is just a number and it doesn't affect change, then it's really not doing what it's supposed to do. So when we talk about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, we said this. We said that to be a disciple of Jesus, we should be regularly consuming God's Word. Now, we says consume God's Word daily there. It's what it says. We want you to understand that the word daily isn't some kind of a ritual. If you don't do it, then therefore you have failed. But we wanted to convey this understanding that it is important for us to consume God's Word. When you consume His Word, He speaks to you. This is the primary way we now are spoken to by God. Now there were generations and generations and generations of people who didn't have a Bible or could not read, who had to rely on other people to tell them what it said. There was a lot of that, but now that's not where we live. We live in a place where you can consume it on a regular basis. Even if you cannot read, you can still consume God's Word because there's a place where you can go click and listen to it. Somebody will read it to you. Do what? Your phone. Your phone will read the Bible to you. Perfect. So, we want that to be a mark that marks us as believers here. So if, I don't have a bulletin with me. On the back of your bulletin, there's a place there that will, and it will be there all year. Now, this is just one place where you can learn, you can get a read through the Bible. This is a read through the Bible in a year place. You go on that website, click on it, it will give you the process. Eat this book. Thank you. Yes. Eat this book. So that is a way for you to, that is just one of a thousand different ways. If you don't have a way to look that up on the internet and you want a copy of it, let me know and I'll give you a copy. I can print it off for you. We need to be regularly consuming God's Word. Because He speaks to us. He transforms us. We are transformed through the understanding that we get from the Bible. The next one says we need to be obedient to Jesus. You need to be obedient. To be obedient, you need to hear from God. If you can't hear from God, you can't be obedient because you don't know what He's saying. So we hear from Him through reading the Scripture. We hear from Him through other friends, through godly people in our lives. We hear from Him through the Holy Spirit who nudges us. And then when we hear Him, we need to be obedient. That is something we need to do. Because obedience is truly where transformation happens. Because you can read God's Word, you can believe God has told you to go do something. You can hear from a friend who says, I really don't think that is a good practice for you in your life. It's really not healthy. You can hear all of those things. But if you do not obey any of that, it's impossible to be transformed. Obedience leads us into transformation. The next one says we need to be able to forgive ourselves and forgive others. I mean, forgiveness is a crucial part of following Jesus. So much so that Jesus tells a story in Matthew chapter 5 about a man who goes to worship. And when he gets there, he realizes he's got a problem with a brother. And Jesus says, you know, it's better if you stop what you're doing. Put everything down. Put this sacrifice you brought to the temple to be sacrificed for you. Put all of that stuff down. Leave. Go find your brother. Be made right. Ask for forgiveness. Give forgiveness. Whatever it takes. And then come back and worship. It's a crucial part of following Jesus. We cannot walk through life and follow Jesus with bitterness and anger in our heart. It's not possible. We must be able to let that go. And that's truly where transformation happens again. You'd be able to forgive. And not just forgive somebody else, but to forgive yourself. I mean, how many times have you walked and just can mentally just beat yourself up because you can't forgive yourself for something you did or something you said or something that how something played out? You have to be able to forgive yourself and others. The next one says, be generous with all that you have. And this is just everything you are, everything you own, everything that you do. How do you view those things? How do you view your possessions? When it comes to spirituality, when it comes to thinking about Jesus, our stuff, our money, our time, those are usually the last things we ever really surrender. So the stuff that you own, is it yours or is it God's? How do you view your money? Do you consume all that you earn? Never thinking about where it goes or what it's doing or how it affects other people or how it affects you mentally, spiritually, emotionally? You just consume it, burn it up, and then wait for the next check and then burn it up again? Or do you prayerfully consider what God wants you to do with it? I'm going to tell you right now, God wants you to pay your bills. I'm not telling you not to pay your bills. He wants you to pay your bills, I promise. But as you sit down, do you think through those things? Do you say, okay, well, this is what is left over. What am I going to do with this? Well, I have nothing left over. God, what am I going to do now? Yes. That's the next one. You should come preach my sermon. So how do you view your time? Again, do you consume it all for yourself? Do you get to the end of the day and there's nothing left? You sit down like me and you turn on the television, turn off your brain, and go to sleep. I think I just described my entire week this week. By the way, thank you for praying for me and my surgery. I am doing better. Beth is mad that I picked up a couch last night, but other than that, I'm good. Should not do that. But we should prayerfully consider our time, the time that we have. We all have the same amount. Nobody has any more or any less. The next one says, be a servant to all. This is really about how you walk through life. And how do you view the people in and around your life? You know, it is pretty common thing, and the idea of serving other people has become very popular in our culture. Secularly, I mean, it's very popular. I mean, you can hear, turn on the radio every day on the internet every day about some little kid who started a lemonade stand and gave all their money away to some child who needed cancer surgery. I mean, it's everywhere. It is everywhere. Yes. But as we walk through life, how do you perceive those around you? Do you see people who need help? Do you see friends? Do you see neighbors? Jesus tells a story of a man who helped a stranger on the side of the road because he was attacked. Jesus tells a story in a cultural way that makes everybody understand that sometimes it's easy for us to put on our blinders, walk through life, and ignore everybody around us. He tells a story, it's called the Good Samaritan. You know, the Samaritan is kind of the half-breed in the story. Nobody in Israel likes Samaritans. They all think they're not really worth being. But he's the hero in the story. If the person you hate, the person you don't think is worth anything, can do this, what about you? Are you walking with your blinders on, or are you walking with this man, like this man who isn't? Are we able to see people who are in need? Are we able to see people who need to have a conversation? Serving other people isn't just about giving away your money. It's caring about the well-being of your friends, your family, your neighbors, the people you work with, the people you come in contact with. And then the last one says, work together to become and make disciples. Ultimately, that's what our goal is we're here to, as a family, help each other be disciples and help each other make more disciples. This is fulfilling the calling of our lives as Christ followers. We're all called to the same thing. You can rewrite it. You can write it in fancier words than we did, however you would like to do it. We are to work toward the same thing. The nice thing is we're not doing this alone. We can find accountability. We can find family people we can walk with. We can be doing these things together. And it isn't something you do separate. It is something you do as you're going through life. I read a story about a man who was living in Mexico and wanted to effect change in the city that he was living in and meet people and help them become Christ followers, make disciples, if you want to call it that. But he never could seem to find the time to get with them. They have busy lives. They're working hard. I mean, it's a different culture than he's used to. He didn't know how to get involved. And he had a conversation with a friend one day and he said, why don't you just go to where they work? Maybe help. And be a part of their life. Just walk alongside. And he said, I've never thought about that way. To him, it was like, I have to get them from point A over to point B, have a Bible study, and then they make a decision, then they take that information, pick it up, and then take it over here and implement it in their life. He said, that's never going to happen. They don't have time for that. So instead of you waiting for them to show up, why don't you go over there? So he did. He met a friend. He owned a bakery. He said, hey, how about I just come help you make bread in the morning? Okay, I get up at 4 o'clock. Yikes. Okay, I'll be there. So he got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and from 4 to 6 every morning, he helped this guy knead dough, roll dough, break dough up into pieces, put it in pans, and throw it in the oven. And while they were making bread, they had opportunity to talk. Talk about life. Talk about how Jesus affects all things in everything that we do. He's able to talk to him about business and how to run his business better and his family. All while they were doing what they were doing to make money, make bread. We work together. We have to understand this. We're all called to this and we're all striving to do these things. Now, our mission is, if you remember last week, I gave you a paper with all that information on it. Last week I said our mission is to connect the community to our family as we grow in Christ. Our goal is to connect people with our family, whether that be your small single unit family or all of our family as a big congregation, as we connect them. Some tangible things that I would like for us to work on this year. And that's this piece of paper I gave you, if you'd like to pull that out. It's okay. We would like to know where we are connecting in our community and how we are serving in our congregation. We've never really measured this before. This is something we want to kind of get our hands on. My guess is there's more ministry happening in our community, in this room, than we probably even know. Because you're doing something somewhere with us, with a friend, with a family member, with an organization that we don't know about. We want to know. So that's that first question. It says, where are you volunteering or connected in the community? List any and everything, even if you think it's insignificant. List it. Here's some examples there. Working with the poor, a sports team, a civic organization, working with a school. Please list that for us. Now, you may be tempted to not fill this out because you may not be able to put something on every line. Please resist that temptation. Because it's not some kind of contest. This isn't some way to make you look bad or feel bad. We want to know where we are serving and how we are connecting. Now, we want to be able to know this, and maybe somebody will look at this and go, hey, I want to be able to volunteer with the Little League. Well, you know what? I bet Dan will hook you up. Anybody? He'll make a long list for you. We want to be able to do that so we can connect as many people as possible with ways of volunteering in our community. Question two, where do you serve in our congregation? Some of you serve in one place, some of you serve in 14. That's great. That's fine. Please list those out there so we can know. Always room on the back. Yes. Just right and right and right and right. Is there an area of ministry in the congregation you'd like to learn more about? Maybe, oh, and this is that piece of, go to the next one there. The chart. Now, this one I really couldn't make any bigger than this. This is kind of our organizational chart that we put together a couple years ago to kind of understand how everything fits. And there's discipleship on the left, children's ministry, and then worship. Those are on the left-hand side. Our fellowship team, those are when we get together and have meals together. Red means that we don't have a leader in that area yet, and this might not be completely up to date. We're still working on some of those things. The next one is community service leader. Oh, there he goes. Wow. You're so cool. Are you going to scoot over as I read? You're so awesome. And then the trustee of the people who take care of our building and our maintenance and our yard and the different things like that. Finances, they obviously is what it is. It takes care of the finances and the insurance of the church. Neil Hafley is the school down the street. People who are serving down there. And then care over here on the end is Good Samaritan Fund is the fund that we use to help those who are in need in our congregation, in our community, and then caring those who are sick and ill in the hospital and people who need to be visited. So those are the areas that we could, that not all are filled, and we're still working on those things. And of course the last question there says, if you would like to be contacted, I did not make that past tense, sorry. By a ministry area leader for more info, please give us your number and your email address. So if you want to know more about children's ministry, put your name at the top, everybody, thank you, and then put your number at the bottom and we'll make sure that we know. And we'll make sure somebody gets a hold of you. Now there are two words that describe an internal versus external understanding of an organization. They're really fancy words. I'll use them once just to make me sound smart and then not ever say them again. The idea of sodalic versus modalic. Sodalic means that you're outside, externally focused. Modalic is inside. You care about the internal workings and caring of the things that are on the inside. And an organization like ours where we our goal and our mission is to reach people who don't already know the love of Jesus and make them a part of the organization, that we need an apostolic or a leading edge out there, people who know and love and care about that. And then there are people internally who want to nurture that and raise them up and teach them the scriptures and do all of those things on the internal. Let me tell you which one's the easiest. The internal. The internal will always be the easiest. About 85% of people always lean into the internal thinking of an organization. It's just the way we are wired. Only about 15 or 20% of us have an internal wiring that says, I want to be out on the edge, I want to be on the leading edge of things. You can see it in the way we consume a lot of different things. There are innovators and early adopters. Those are the people who buy every new gadget that has ever come across, even if it's a total bomb. Like when you, back in the 80s, you owned VHS and Betamax. Because you had to have them both. And then if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're way too young. I mean, it's the people right now who have a watch on their arm, raise it up, be proud, because it is actually connected to your phone. Come on. Come on, where are you? There are three of you in the room. The other day I shook Jesse's hand and his hand vibrated. Because he got an email right as I shook his hand. And his phone buzzed his watch. Don't need that in my life. But about 15% of the population are the people who have to have all of it early. It's called early adopting, innovator kind of personality. It's the same thing in an organization. About 15 or 20% of the organization is always out on the leading edge. And then there's 85% of the organization that says, whoa, that is way too fast, we can't go that fast. And there's always this tension between them. And we need to have a healthy understanding of both. Of both. So this questionnaire asks both questions. Where are you out there on the edge? And maybe you're not, and that's okay. But how can we help you at least understand what it looks like to be out there? You may never be out there. That's okay. Maybe you're the person on the inside who wants to love on a new believer and teach them how to read the Scriptures and be connected. That would be awesome. But we need to make sure that we don't pull back the people out on the edge from being on the edge, because we need them on the edge. And the people on the edge don't get too mad at the people in the back who say, I'm okay with handling the stuff on the inside. We want to connect as many people as possible with a way to serve, whether it be inside the congregation or outside the congregation in our community. We want to do that. So please fill this out for us. Please write your name on it, because if you don't write your name on it, I won't know who you are. It would be very helpful to have your name. And I want to say thank you. Thank you very much for all that you've done in the last 12 months. We want to thank God for all He has done through us in the last 12 months. Our worship team is going to come. We're going to close, I believe it's with the doxology, right? If you filled out this form, there's a basket on the back table. You can fold it. Please don't fold it 18 times. Jesse, Dan, just slide it in the thing there. That would be helpful. Yes, sir, that's it. Thank you. And let's pray and thank God for how He has blessed us. Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for what You have done in the past, what You are doing now, and we thank You for what You will be doing and already are doing in the future. God, we are blessed even with nothing. We are blessed because we know You. And that You know us, and we are loved. We thank You so much for that. God, we thank You for the bazillion kids that are in the back of our building now. We thank You for the problem of not knowing what to do with them in the space that we have. We thank You for that problem. God, give us the brains to be able to figure it out. Father, we thank You that You've blessed us with an income that we can live and we can honor You and our community. Father, I pray we remain faithful to that and we steward all that You give us. God, I thank You that we have increased and that there are more people connected to our family. God, I pray that that would not stop. There would be more and more people connected to us because of You. And above all, Father, we praise You. And we just pray that all that we do is not for ourselves, that it's not somehow gives us a false sense of security or a false sense of self, God, that everything that we do is completely to bring glory and honor to You, and that people would know the love of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this in Your Son, Jesus' name today. Amen.